Welcome into my podcast with Dave Matter of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We'll talk Missouri basketball. Shut down right now, but they could be returning very soon, so an update on that, as well as Mizzou football. They made great strides in recruiting, and we'll get an update on that. Have to tell you about the doctors at Blue Tail Medical Group. They have over 50 years combined experience treating patients with orthopedic problems, acute sports injuries. So before you think about surgery, think about what they can offer you. Through platelet-rich plasma and biocellular grafts, a patient's own stem cells are extracted and, using ultrasound guidance, re-injected into the area of concern. So what it basically says is, and means, you don't have to have surgery. Blue Tail Medical Group, they're located right here in St. Louis, and doctors all over the world are going to Blue Tail Medical Group to find out how they're doing it. They are doing it with injections to make sure you're not on the sidelines for months, even a year. Blue Tail Medical Group offers the most current patient-centered treatment options for athletes, veterans, patients suffering from age-related arthritis. BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. The national championship is tonight. Let's visit with Dave Matter of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who covers Mizzou athletics inside and out. Specifically, we're talking about football, basketball, everything. Dave Matter does an excellent job covering Mizzou athletics. Hey, Dave, good morning to you. Always great to catch up. How are things going?
Going well, Dan. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I want to get into the national championship in just a moment, but boy, I'd love to talk college basketball. I'd love to be talking a little SLU, men's or women's. I'd love to be talking Mizzou basketball. Illinois is the only one on the hard court right now. So let's start with Mizzou basketball. They're shut down right now. What's the latest going on with Conjo Martin's program?
Yeah, you know, they had their game against LSU. It was supposed to be Saturday. That was postponed. And then they were supposed to host Vanderbilt tomorrow night, Tuesday. That is postponed. They've got, you know, at least one COVID case, if not more. And then they've got all the contact tracing that you have to do. So they just weren't able to play these games. They had to suspend or stop all team activities, pause, I guess is the word we're using, through Wednesday of this week. But they believe they can get going again on Wednesday, start practicing, and pending further testing, of course, as we have to do in all of this stuff. And then they would play again Saturday at Texas A&M. So they've lost two home games here, right? And right after losing a game at Mississippi State, a bad loss. We all remember that one. It would have been nice for this team to get back playing at home, you know, sort of maybe get on a little bit of a run, recapture a little momentum, but now they got to go back on the road. So we'll see. Now, the SEC did, they created an open weekend at the end of the regular season to make up any lost games. I don't know how that works if you've lost multiple games. So they'll have to make these up somehow. Not sure exactly how that would work, but the hope is that they could start playing again and then not have any more positive cases and just resume this season.
That's the really interesting thing. You know, the SEC bought themselves some time, and I thought they did it rightfully as opposed to what the Big Ten did, and they were almost backed into a corner with Ohio State, but it worked out for them. But in basketball, I really got to wonder how these teams are going to make up these games without trying to go back-to-back with certain teams if certain teams agree to do that. It's going to be really tough to try, and not just in the SEC, but with Mizzou. But I'm watching SLU. SLU could be shut down for a month. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to make up some of these games.
Yeah, it's crazy. The games are really going to be scrambled within their conferences. I thought it was pretty wild what the SEC did the other day. They canceled Missouri's game on Friday for the next day against LSU and sent LSU to Oxford, Mississippi instead with barely 24 hours notice.
Wow.
Which you can't really do that in football. You can do it with basketball, I guess, because you got smaller teams. The prep time's not quite the same. And to LSU's credit, they went to Oxford and won, and that game wasn't really even close for most of it. But that's what these teams have to be ready for. They almost just have to be able to freelance on the go as far as your preparation. And, you know, they're familiar with these teams and coaches. So it's not like they're preparing for a complete stranger, but man, I gotta think we're going to see more of that because it's not only Missouri. Vanderbilt had issues earlier in the year. South Carolina's had issues most of this season. They have hardly played this season. Hopefully this is over, but it'd be naive to think that it is.
So the question would be, and I don't know if you know this answer, so as you talk to other beat writers, you talk to administrators, and you're connected all over the country, when we do get to a Selection Sunday, and let's hope that we do, how will the selection committee be able to look at schedules and say, and it's going to be, I mean, you talk about doing your homework this year, man. You got to really do your homework. You say, well, this team lost this game, but their best player was out with COVID, but then he came back in this game. And, oh, by the way, this team's only played 15 games, and this team played 20. I mean, how do you try to figure this thing out? How are they going to try to put that all in a computer or whatever they're going to do and sort this thing out and come up with what they feel is a competitive and fair field for the tournament? Because we will have an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. And I don't know what the answer is other than they're just going to have to evaluate every team on a team-by-team basis. As long as they have those prerequisite wins, which I think they are games played, which I think they set at like 12 or 13 at the beginning of the year. And what we learned in college sports this year with football is you can change those rules on the fly, like they did with Ohio State in the Big Ten throughout the football season. But as long as they have played the minimum games and they've got a decent enough record to be considered, I've just got to think they're going to have to look through every case. And there's no other way to do it. That's why they put these folks on the selection committees. There's going to be teams that play a lot more games than other teams. You look at Duke right now, I think they're 5-2. They were 3-2 for a while. They hadn't played anybody else because they've either had games canceled or they postponed or they decided not to play certain games. South Carolina's another one in the SEC. I mean, they're sitting here right now only at 3-2. I mean, they played January 6th, but before that, they played January 2nd, then not since December 5th. So their situation is kind of similar to SLU. So it's going to be really, really hard for the committee. But as you said, there will be a tournament this year. NCAA can't afford to go 2 years without this thing. But schedules are going to be scrambled like crazy.
Dave Matter of the Post-Dispatch covers Mizzou Athletics, is my guest. And Dave, I got to ask you this too. If you're shut down like a SLU or a Mizzou, and both are in the top 25, it was interesting. You know, SLU hadn't played, and yet they got into the top 25. Can you move? Can you be adjusted with the top 25? And it's not the end-all, be-all, but, man, it's nice to say, hey, we're in the top 25. How do you make those assessments as well if you don't play?
Yeah, it's hard. And I'll answer this as an AP voter because I have to fill out my ballot every Monday morning. And SLU's been the test case because I've had them ranked since about the third week of the season. Right there between 20 and 25. What happens when they don't play? Well, I just feel like you can't punish them because they still have the same record. They still have the same credentials that put them on your ballot. And is it their fault they can't play? Well, I mean, technically, yeah, if there's a positive case that somebody made a mistake somewhere, or not even a mistake, just something unfortunate happened. But does that say anything about the quality of their resume right now? No, it doesn't at all. So I leave them on there. I don't punish them for that. So other voters might be looking at it differently. But it's a tough call. This is unprecedented. We're not used to just having to have teams that go a month without playing games. It's wild. But at the end of the day, if you still believe in their credentials and what they were able to do with that 8-game start and thought that made them one of the top 25 teams in the country, then in my eyes, they still are, even though they haven't played in a while.
The last time I talked to you, Mizzou football was getting ready to play in the Music City Bowl, and obviously that got canceled. Now you've had a chance to catch your breath, kind of reflect on the Missouri football season. As you reflect in a general sense, how would you sum up what happened for Eli in this first year?
I thought there was a lot to build on. A lot of promising things happened. You know, nobody thought that this team would win. Once they went to that 10-game SEC schedule, nobody was expecting this team to finish with a 500 record. I certainly wasn't. You know, I thought that they could be more competitive in some games than they have in the past against the better teams in the league. But I thought that the big stride they made was they took care of most of the games against the teams that are kind of in their realm, you know, those other middle-class SEC teams. Now, they lost to Tennessee, and that ended up looking like a worse loss at the end of the season than it did at the time. And then a disappointing finish to Mississippi State. There are a lot of factors that went into that. Missouri's roster at that point was pretty gutted, especially on defense. But you look at what they did against Kentucky and South Carolina and Vanderbilt and Arkansas, those are games Missouri consistently has not been winning for a while. And you can't think about competing in the SEC or the Eastern Division until you start winning those games, and they did win those games. So that's progress. It's a team, I think, in a program that's on the rise. We saw some really good things out of their offense. Their defense was up and down. They had a lot of personnel issues there. But I think there's a lot there you can build on. And maybe more than anything, they generated some excitement. They became relevant outside of just Boone County. Now, fans couldn't really enjoy it in person like you could a normal season. But you really get the sense that Eli is building something. And that's what you want out of that first year, probably more than anything.
The significance of Mookie Cooper transferring four-star from Ohio State to Mizzou, both on and off the field, what does that mean?
Well, you need talent. You need talent on offense. You need playmakers. You need guys that can move the chains and score your points. And this was a player that everybody in the country wanted out of high school when he played at Trinity. Now, he didn't play his senior year. He had some issues there. He transferred to Pattonville and was never made eligible there. And he didn't play this past year at Ohio State. And that's no shame in being a freshman receiver at Ohio State and not playing. They've got some great talent there, as we'll see in the championship game. But he is a playmaker, and he's from St. Louis, which is always great to get a guy that's – I don't care if he comes in his senior year of high school or if he comes in after going somewhere else first. I think it's a bit of a statement to land a guy like this. Now you got to see if you can get him eligible this year. That's going to rely on the NCAA. They passed this rule, the one-time transfer rule. And then you got to figure out how he fits in. But this team needs playmakers, and that's why everybody wanted Mookie Cooper coming out of high school. Whether you line him up in the slot, outside, running back, kick returner, wherever, they'll find a place for him for sure.
Missouri had given up about 150 points in their last three games, and now they lose their defensive coordinator to Illinois. And some people are saying, now, why does that happen after 1 year with Eli? I'm not so sure from reading it from the outside looking in it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't know. You're on the inside. Tell me what you think about this move of Walters going from Mizzou to Illinois.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of puzzling things if you just look at it from the outside a little bit. Like, here's a guy that he was under contract for two more years at Missouri, making $900,000 a year. That's a pretty good salary for a guy who doesn't turn 35 for another week or so. But why would he go to Illinois, a program that is still a Power Five program, but one that is significantly behind Missouri right now in terms of just where that program is at? Well, let's remember, he wasn't necessarily hired by Eli Drinkwitz. He was here. He was kept. I kind of like to say it was maybe a bit of an arranged marriage. Did it work out? It wasn't in shambles by any means. I never sensed any kind of resentment or hostility between those two. But the defense did struggle down the stretch. And I think if you're Ryan, maybe you see the writing on the wall and think, okay, this guy might be looking to hire somebody else in a year. Maybe I need to go somewhere with a clean slate, a fresh start, work with a defensive-minded head coach where I can, you know, build what I know, build on my own career. And I think it all just kind of worked out. I think this can be a win-win for both programs. I think Ryan's a good coach. I think he's a good recruiter. Players really like him. I think he could have continued to build on his career and have success at Missouri. But for him, fresh start, clean slate, working for Brett Bielema, a guy that by talking to Ryan, he seems to really admire and like. You get to run the show at a Big Ten program and kind of build a place from the bottom up. And if you're Missouri, hey, now you get to go out and pick a coordinator to run this defense and also have a bit of a clean slate on that side of the ball. We know Eli's an offensive coach. He doesn't completely turn his back to the defense like maybe a Mike Leach does, but he is very much preoccupied with the offense. He wants to bring in somebody or keep somebody on staff, doesn't necessarily have to bring in an outsider, who will run that thing and run it really well. So we'll see what happens.
Dave Matter of the Post-Dispatch, my guest. I wasn't sure we would get to this point. Matter of fact, I doubted it sometimes that we'd have a national championship game, but here we are. We've got Alabama. We've got Ohio State. Number one, two-part question. Did you think we'd get here? And number two, who do you like tonight?
I really had my doubts back in June and July. And then when the season started, man, I just wasn't sure. And if anything, I thought it would be a really kind of incomplete sort of season to where, well, the Big Ten's not playing and the Pac-12's not playing. And how can you really crown a champion if only 60% of the teams are playing? Well, then obviously the Big Ten did everything it could and found every loophole to crawl through to get, you know, its best program into the playoff and into the, you know, the title hunt here. And to Ohio State's credit, they earned it after the way they beat Clemson. I don't think there's any doubt we've got the two best teams in the country playing for the championship. I'm leaning towards Alabama. I just like their firepower on offense. I think it's too much. But I do think that Ohio State will keep this thing really close and competitive if Justin Fields is healthy enough. He took that shot in that Clemson game and was able to stay in there and play maybe the best game a quarterback's played in college football this year. He's got enough around him to keep this thing tight. I just think that Alabama in the end just has too much, especially if Jaylen Waddle gets on the field in some kind of capacity. They've got the best receiver in college football. When healthy, they might have the best too. And it's hard to go against Nick Saban on the big stage.
Always great stuff, Dave. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks for your work, and hopefully Mizzou gets back on the hardwood very soon, and we'll be reading you at the Post-Dispatch. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
That's Dave Matter of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.